Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. Dr. Nicholas Crisp, a very good morning. Thank you, as always, for joining us. How are you doing?
Morning, Howard, and morning to your listeners. All fine, thanks.
Good. So let's just start with the just an overview. How are we doing in terms of the fourth wave? What are we seeing? When are we anticipating that this will happen?
Yeah, Howard, we don't know exactly when things are going to happen, but what we're seeing at the moment is since Monday last week, there have been a few little flickerings and flames of outbreaks, minor outbreaks, mostly in Gauteng and mostly in the Tshwane area. Luckily, yesterday the figures were down again, but that may change, of course.
Yeah.
So we're very alert, watching exactly what's happening, monitoring at a micro level what's happening. The labs are monitoring the wastewater because that gives us an idea of where the virus is in the community.
Right.
And we are now looking very closely at exactly what the variants look like. They're doing more sampling than normal at the moment to try and anticipate what's happening.
Are you starting to see signs of a variant of interest at this stage?
No, not yet. We'll wait until we get this next set of results. But up to then, for a long time now, we've been watching a couple of sub-variants of the Delta. But that's nothing's changed.
All right. So that is good news. One thing that does worry me is when we look at a lot of the political meetings and rallies going on, it is a concern because any one of those events could really start something.
Yeah, sure. The minute you get somebody who's infected in a crowd of people who are not vaccinated and haven't got sufficient immunity, that's an opportunity for spreading.
Mm.
And so, I mean, that's why we keep asking people, not just for political events, but for sporting and other events, please continue to wear your masks, wash your hands, keep your social distance, make sure there's proper ventilation. I mean, we can't get tired of saying these things.
Absolutely.
We have to say them and we must do them.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, vaccinate.
Mm.
We know there are a lot of people who don't believe in it and they make a lot of noise on social media. But if we have a look at the cases that we've seen now in the last week or so, they're nearly all under the age of 45. And that seems to tend towards the fact that that's the under-vaccinated population.
Mm.
And we know that over 50s are well vaccinated in the country, so they seem to be being protected at the moment. We'll watch the space and we'll watch the numbers, but the early indications are that vaccination is protecting older people, which is what we want.
So in fact, I was reading a couple of articles about what's going on in Germany, and there very much one of the doctors said it's almost a disease of the unvaccinated. Now, it doesn't mean that people that are vaccinated are not getting ill, but they are not getting ill to the same extent, and they're not dying at the same level. And that's really what this is about. It's to prevent serious illness, strain on the medical system, and death.
Yeah, well, absolutely. None of us really wants to die prematurely, and it's not nice to spend your Christmas in the intensive care unit, spoiling 100%. Somebody else's Christmas as well.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's what it really is about, is to get enough immunity to be able to fight off the disease. Even if you end up with a mild illness, then you've got a mild illness.
Absolutely.
But if you haven't been vaccinated and you have no immunity, your chances of getting a more severe infection are just so much greater.
100%. Let's just talk about the vaccines. How's it looking in terms of a booster for the over 50s or whomever it would be?
So, the jury is out still on whether boosters have the kind of effect that people like to believe. We know that the developed world are very into their boosters. But one must remember that they vaccinated 60% and more of their general population. So, and they started months before we started in our communities. So whether there's merit and whether, the value for money you're going to get out of boosters is something we should be looking at the moment, we still don't know. So the issue really is to get people to get their primary vaccination. If we're sitting at only 40% of adults vaccinated, and we haven't really started with the children, which has only done about 360,000 adolescents so far, and there's no talk yet about children being vaccinated in our country under the age of 12, then we've still got a lot of people who need to get primary vaccination. So talking about boosters is really something that we are focusing on for immunocompromised people and for healthcare workers. And we're obviously interested in protecting healthcare workers because they have to look after
absolutely.
Us when we're sick,
absolutely.
And because they were the ones who were vaccinated first, so they've had the longest period since their primary vaccination. So that's the only focus for now. For the rest, we're not really talking about it yet.
And in terms of adolescents getting a second dose, as they do in other countries?
Well, initially there was this talk about myocarditis and, you know, the heart inflammations and so on. So our advice was we would follow what the UK did and just do one dose and wait until there's sufficient evidence to understand whether that is a real and genuine concern and how big that concern might be. I suspect that at this week's Ministerial Advisory Committee there will be a paper presented and some recommendations made to us on whether whether they feel it is appropriate to give the second dose of Pfizer. A lot of countries have been doing it, so there is now information available. So that's what one does, is you build up a knowledge of information and then evaluate it on our circumstances in our country. We're all different, and the way our communities are structured are completely different. So we rely on our many competent scientists and to give us guidance.
Let's just talk for a moment about the vaccine passport. I know that the minute it came out, I downloaded my certificate, but yet, interestingly enough, I've not that I go many places because I'm a bit neurotic, but I haven't been asked for it anywhere. Does anyone ask for it in South Africa? That's question number one. And then question number two is when will it be internationally recognized?
Yeah, so let's start off with the first question. You're obviously not a football fan, Howard, because if you want to go to a football stadium, you're going to need your certificate.
All right, damn, you're on to me.
So, and that's going to start happening with other sports events and social events too. The health department is obviously only interested in the health record, but our colleagues in sports science and sports, arts, and culture have got a completely different take, of course. So I think you're going to need it. So make sure you have one and you keep it valid and you know where it is. I've been invited to year-end functions now, and on all of the invitations it says I must either download my card onto the, otherwise I won't be allowed in, or I must bring it with me. So I think that's going to happen more and more with responsible companies and responsible event managers. So using it in South Africa is the primary intention, and it's to try and control crowds in the big gatherings. That's the primary objective. I mean, there is the question, and it was raised right at the beginning, about international travel. So we do have reciprocity of our existing certificate with many countries, and Durka, through our ambassadors, has been working with lots of countries. Remember, we can't read their cards either.
So I was just wondering, in fact, one of our listeners, Kim, asked, shouldn't the World Health Organization be putting together a universal certificate that's recognized?
Well, the World Health Organization does not approve of vaccination passports. They are against it, but they have issued guidelines, and ours is designed on the international guideline to the T. So we follow exactly what the let's call it the standard and there are a number of companies and IATA and so on that try to harmonize and make individual countries' vaccination certificates more accessible. But the primary objective of our certificate is for domestic use. It's extremely expensive to put the necessary security in that any country in the world can read, verify directly off our national database. You can imagine the security that's involved. So most countries don't do that. What we do is what you can do is you can just read that the content of the actual piece of paper or the electronic certificate matches what's on the QR code. But that doesn't tell you that person was actually vaccinated, or that they even exist on the database. That's a whole nother ballgame.
It really is. And in fact, certainly I haven't yet traveled internationally since the pandemic, but most people that do are able to do so with and show the vaccine certificates, and somehow it doesn't seem to be a problem. Roland says, how are German media sporadically mentioning an oral vaccine? Any chance of that coming here soon?
Yeah, well, we know about oral vaccine and various oral treatments, actually, that are now in the early stages. I don't know about soon. You know, these things have to be evaluated, and then we do an economic evaluation to see the cost of some of these things is so exorbitant that we just can't afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not saying it won't arrive and it can't arrive, but for now, that is something that will be evaluated. Remember that an applicant, a company, has to apply to sell that product in our country. We don't go out and ask proactively. Mm. So if whoever's manufacturing it wants to sell it in the country to the government or to anybody else, they would need to register it. Our big challenge now is to move from pandemic status to endemic status and to get everything integrated into this health system and to not have to continue with these mass campaigns and things. And that's the early part of next year. That's what we'll really be focusing on.
And if you are non-vaccinated, Mike, I see that your message is here. I'm over 50. I'm non-vaccinated. So I'm technically safely unsafe. You are unsafe, Mike, and we worry about you. Please go and get vaccinated. What is the matter with you? It's just so unnecessary. But either way, Dr. Nicholas Crisp, thank you. I'll take it from here. I'll deal with my badly behaved listeners. And you can deal with all sorts of other things. It is 7.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It is 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Good morning.